showing emotion. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to talk about emotion and mood and how the way you use your intonation changes the message that the listener gets from you. So to teach this lesson, I'd like to turn things over to my good friend, Mark.
Hi, and welcome back. No, let me try that again. Hi, and welcome back. No, that doesn't work. Hi, and welcome back to our lessons. Well, as you can see, I was having a little fun with the introduction. But that's what this lesson is all about, isn't it? Emotion and mood. In other words, how do we show our emotion? How do we express to the people around us through our voice how we feel? Okay, before we get into some of the specifics of showing emotion, let's talk a little more about the general aspects of emotion. Remember in our first lesson how we talked about the four parts of accent, voice quality, rhythm and intonation, word connections, and pronunciation? Well, it turns out that those four parts of accent have a lot to do with expressing emotion. So let's talk a little bit more about each of those. Remember, voice quality has to do with where your voice is produced. In other words, if I speak a little bit lower, where's that sound coming from? Well, if you can imagine producing the sound in your stomach or maybe in your lower part of your chest, you might think of the sound coming out and being quite low, low, low. Or we could get a little bit higher and perhaps a little bit closer to the nose or the nasal passages, a little bit higher up in the throat, such as I'm doing right now. Notice those two extremes. Voice quality really has to do with where the sounds seem to be coming from. And it turns out that that has a lot to do with the American accent as well. We'll get into that a little bit more later, especially with gender and tone. But remember that the American accent, and this has to do with the American culture as well, prefers to produce most of the sounds lower, a little bit more into the chest, maybe upper stomach, the very lower part of the throat, rather than much higher in the throat. So that's one thing to think about when we think about expressing emotion. If we get a little bit too high, perhaps we might think that the speaker is excited. Or another possibility is that the speaker doesn't care so much about what they're talking about. Now, that may not be true, but that's often how Americans perceive a higher voice rather than a lower voice. Rhythm and intonation. As we've talked a lot throughout most of the lessons, the rhythm and intonation can very much affect how listeners perceive the speaker's attitude. For example, let's look on the first page of the handout. I don't think that's true. Or, I do not think that is true. Now, of course, the idea is the same in both sentences. In the first sentence, you'll notice that the intonation was similar to the second sentence, but the rhythm was quite different. Notice that the word connections, don't, do not, that's, that is, changed the rhythm. They changed the amount of sounds that actually came through. And it changed the stress patterns or the intonation, even though the tone may have been similar.
the voice quality may have been similar. But it turns out that when you speak the first sentence, I don't think that's true, you're sounding more informal, and I do not think that is true, you're sounding more formal. And in American English, formality can very much affect the emotion of the speaker. Let's talk about this just a little bit more. Americans really do prefer, you may have noticed, informality. It connotes friendliness. It shows that you're more willing to participate or to be warm and open to what other people are saying and thinking. If you tend to be a little too formal, then you seem to be cold and aloof. You may not be taken, you may be thought of as a closed-minded person, someone who just wants other people to listen, but it shows that you don't really want to listen in return. Now, I'm not saying that all formality is perceived that way. There are some situations where formality makes a lot of sense. In a very formal business situation, meeting someone like the president, we naturally slip into a more formal mode. But in general, people prefer to be informal. It shows in American culture that you're more or less equal to the other person. And as you probably have noticed in American culture, that sort of value, equality, that we're on the same level, is important. Now, of course, being too informal can also be a problem as well. But when we go back to our example of, I don't think that's true, you most of the time would say it that way and show that you really do want to talk to the other person. You want to participate. You want them to respond in a like manner. I do not think that is true. It may sound to the listener like you don't want the other person to speak, that you don't want them to participate, and that you're really trying to shut off the discussion. Now, of course, you may not be intending this when you're trying to be formal. You're trying to be polite. But in many situations, being too polite by being very formal, not using the word connections, using more rhythm than necessary, then it can show a coldness and aloofness, as I mentioned before. Okay? So rhythm and intonation can definitely affect emotion, how you are perceived. When it comes to pronunciation, a similar sort of thing can happen. If we tend to be too strong and long on certain sounds, let's go back to our original example. I do not think. Let's break this down a little bit more. I do not think. If I slow it down too much, I try to articulate each sound very clearly. This again comes across as being too formal, too strong. You don't really want the other person to participate in the conversation. Whereas if I soften some of those sounds, as we've talked about in other lessons, I don't think. Notice that the T and the K, the pronunciation, the articulation of some of these sounds becomes much softer. They stop more. They don't continue for very long. That sort of thing can definitely affect this feeling that the listener gets. And a lot of that has to do with how informal and formal you sound to the other person. Remember, most of the time Americans prefer informality over formality. Okay, so all four parts of accent can affect emotion. We talked a little bit about how formality or informality can definitely affect emotion.
And we really do want to pay attention to voice quality, the rhythm, word connections, and pronunciation. But today, we're really going to focus more on tone. Tone, of course, being a part of intonation. And we'll be focusing mostly on word intonation, but we can also focus on sentence or phrasal intonation as well. So what is tone again? Remember, tone is pitch, or the sound frequency, how many vibrations are made. And tone, of course, can be produced in different parts of the throat, and depending on how tense your vocal cords become, we can produce a higher tone and a lower tone. So pitch has a lot to do with the sound frequency. Okay, so we really do want to focus on three aspects of tone and how tone changes, because it's this change in tone, for the most part, that affects the emotion. Okay, so let's focus on those three tonal changes: length, intensity, and direction. Length, of course, is how long we hold on to a particular sound. So, for example, length, girl, or girl. Short, long, length has a lot to do with emotion. Intensity, of course, that's similar to volume or how loud the sound becomes. For example, girl, girl, girl. How loud we say something definitely can affect emotion. And of course, the last one, direction. Is the pitch or tone rising or falling? Now, when we say rising or falling, we of course are not necessarily talking about length or intensity, but whether or not the sound gets higher in pitch or lower in pitch. So in our example here on the handout, girl, girl. Let's apply these three tonal changes to some examples. Now on page 2 of the handout, we thought we'd have some fun and use a link to a comic strip, an American comic strip called Zits by Jerry Scott and Jim Borgman. Don't worry too much if you can't actually link to this. We just thought it might be fun to have a visual along with the sounds. What's much more important is for us to listen to the sounds and associate them with certain emotions. But if you can go to the link and look at the pictures, that might be helpful for you as well. Now, in this particular comic, How Are You Duding Today?, the word that's being used to express different emotions is dude. In American slang, dude is a very common word, especially for many men or boys. Women and girls also use the word, but most of the time it's used to show an informality, a friendliness. You would use it with people that you're close to, like your friends or maybe even your family, classmates, people like that. In this particular case, the character in this comic is using one word to express 9 different emotions. Okay, so let's get into each expression, each mode. I'll talk a little bit about how to produce the sound and which emotion might be associated with that. But one word of a warning here. Emotions is not an exact science here. Some of the tonal changes that we'll be talking about could be used for other types of emotions, but for the most part, we can focus on these 9, and I'm going to add another one as well, and perhaps you can add some other tonal changes, examples, on your own.
We're going to use the word dude, but later on in the lesson, I'm going to ask you to come up with your own word that you could use on your own. Okay, let's get into the first 9 examples. Notice on page 2 that each of the 10 patterns has a dotted line. This represents the mid-range of the tone, or the normal tone, such as I'm speaking now. Of course, we could go higher in tone or lower in tone. So listen to each of the 10 patterns now. Number 1. Dude. Number 2. Dude. Number 3. Dude. Number 4. Dude. Number 5. Dude. Number 6. Dude. Number 7. Dude. Number 8. Dude. Number 9. Dude. Number 10. Dude. Okay, let's talk about the length, intensity, and direction for each of these 10 patterns. In the first pattern, we really don't have too long or too short. It rises and it falls in direction, but not too sharply and not for too long. The intensity is in the middle range as well. It's not too loud and it's not too soft. It's in the normal speaking range of a conversation. So the tone is really neutral in this case. And so one way of thinking about a neutral tone is a speaker acknowledging what another person has said. For example, did you hear what I said? Sure. Yes. Dude. It rises slightly and falls slightly. Not too long, not too short, not too intense. Okay, so that's the first pattern. The second pattern. What emotion's being expressed here? Well, the length, once again, is not too long, not too short. But notice the direction of the tone. Rising sharply and then falling sharply. The rise is longer than the fall. It's much more intense than the first pattern. It's much louder. And therefore, the speaker is probably showing surprise. You're surprised at what happened or what someone just said. The third pattern. Notice the length. It's much longer. The vowel sound is much longer. So the length is important here. The intensity, it is a little more intense, a little bit louder than the first pattern, but not as loud as the second pattern. And it has not a lot of directional change. There might be a slight little rise and fall towards the end of the sound. And this pattern usually shows that you're quite satisfied with something. You're not excited, but you're happy and satisfied. For example, you just had a great meal. You really enjoyed the food. Your energy is probably low right now because your stomach is trying to digest all that food. And so to show your satisfaction, you'd probably say something like,
Ooh, that was really good. The fourth pattern. Notice that the length here is also important, but it's really the change in direction that's most important. It starts out lower, rises, and then falls back down to a lower position. In this case, the emotion being expressed would be scared or frightened. Dude! The intensity is probably higher than normal. The length would probably be similar to the third pattern. But it's really that change going from low to high to low again that shows how afraid you are of something. The fifth pattern, this is quite different from most of the other patterns. The length is very short. It tends to be lower in tone. The intensity can be high or low, depending on how strongly you feel. But there's almost no change, mostly because it's so short. So the intensity and the length and the lack of direction show that this emotion is angry. Usually when you're angry, you tend to be very short, much lower, and no direction in change. No direction in the tone. Tends to stay flat. In the sixth pattern, quite different from the fifth pattern, but the length is similar. But there is a change in direction. It's much less intense. Therefore, the volume is going to be lower. It's going to be quite soft. But there's a slight rise in the tone. So which emotion is this? Well, it's someone who's shy, reluctant, not sure. The seventh pattern. Notice the repetition is important here. But even if we didn't repeat the sound, the fact that it's so short, quick rise, and that it tends to be very high in pitch and very intense means that you are excited. You're really enthusiastic about something. So it tends to be quite short, quite high, and you can barely contain yourself. You're just so excited. Pattern 8. Notice pattern 8 is much longer. It can be intense, but it's really the direction moving from low to very high in pitch that shows that you feel baffled or confused, almost unbelieving about what someone has just said or done. Dude, what? Pattern number 9. We have to be a little bit careful here how we characterize this emotion. It usually shows silliness or acting kind of stupid. Why would you want to do that? Well, sometimes you are being playful with someone. You're being almost childish, perhaps. But it's this idea of really long, flat intonation. It can be a little bit higher than normal or a little bit lower than the middle tone range. The vowel sound might even change just a little bit. Did you notice that the other patterns were do, and this one's more of dude. Notice that was lower. Dude, that was higher. But this tends to show that you're being silly or a little bit acting kind of stupid about a situation. Pattern number 10, dude. Notice the rise, fall, and slight rise again. The length may be a little bit longer than normal. Not so intense, But there can be a little more intensity at the beginning with less intensity at the end. So you might be a little bit louder in the beginning, a little bit softer in the at the end, but it's this change in direction and a little bit longer than normal that produces a sexy emotion, trying to get someone's interest, trying to be attractive to someone. I added some spaces in number 11 and number 12 for you to add your own patterns, your own tonal changes, where maybe the length, intensity, or direction change in certain ways that may be a little different from what we've talked about here so far. And maybe there are some other emotions that you can suggest go along with these patterns. Feel free to send those in to us, and we can give you some feedback on those. Okay, let's go to page 3, and let's take a little quiz. Go ahead and listen to all 10 patterns. And for each pattern, in order, go ahead and match the emotion in the right-hand column to the sounds that you hear in the left-hand column. Number 1. Dude. Number 2. Dude. Number 3. Dude. Number 4. Dude. Number 5. Dude. Number 6. Dude. Number 7. Dude. Number 8. Dude. Number 9. Dude. Number 10. Dude. Once you've finished with those, part of your assignment for this week will be to send in your answers by giving us the number and the emotion and the sound associated with that emotion. So, for example, you might say, as we have here in the example, number 1, scared, is the emotion. And then go ahead and tell us what you think scared sounds like. For example, using dude, you could say, dude. Okay, so go ahead and do that for the other 9 patterns and send that in to us so we can review it for you. Okay, I'm going to turn over the next part of the lesson, gender and tone, to Sherry.
Thanks, Mark. I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes talking to especially the ladies. Now, guys, this is important for you too, but in my career, I often meet highly intelligent, highly educated women with positions in power who sometimes still are not being recognized for how wonderful they are, especially when it comes to English. Now, they may come through our course and see a lot of improvement in accent, in pronunciation, and yet sometimes they're missing something, and I like to call that just empowerment. Now, empowerment is an attitude, but I believe that you can project a kind of power that other people automatically assume you have because of the way that you speak. Now, for example, I have met college professors who are very talented at what they do, but when they get in front of American audiences with American students, sometimes the students don't take them as seriously as they really should. And that is because sometimes the female professor, and guys, you too, the male professors and the male bosses and male and female business people, are not coming across strong enough. Now, there is a fine line between being too strong and being too weak. But if you feel that maybe you're not getting the respect that you deserve, it may have something to do with not projecting that power strong enough to the other person. Now, going back to these professors who were teaching classes, and very highly intelligent professors teaching these college classes, might go into a classroom and say, "Class, please open your book." Now, that's okay. It's good intonation. It's good English. But how would it be if the person went in and said, "Class, please open your book"? Notice how much more authority that has. Now, if I came into a class and I said, "Class, open your book." Well, those are very short tones. It shows that I'm angry. So they wouldn't really respect me very much if I was always angry too. But they definitely don't show that much respect to the kind of person who's too soft or too low or even too slow. That kind of speaking works sometimes, but it doesn't work for certain situations. And I'm talking about college classes, but it could be any kind of job. You want to make sure that your voice conveys some kind of power. Do you remember, I don't know, maybe if you've ever taken a drama class or maybe a speech class, do you ever remember somebody telling you how to project your voice? I didn't really understand it well when I was a kid. I was actually a very shy kid. They would say, "Bring your voice up from your belly." And I thought, well, that's just weird. How can I bring my voice from my belly? Because my voice comes from my voice box in my throat. So they would put us at the other end of the room and have us project our voice. Now, it's different from yelling. When you yell, you're still using the throat a lot, but you're going at a very high volume. When you project from your belly, you're actually pushing the sound out with your diaphragm. Notice that? I didn't yell at you, but I projected. So I'm pushing it with the diaphragm or my belly area. So it's something that you could practice, something that you could work on. Now, it's not something that you have to do all the time. It depends on the position that you're in, what you're doing, who you're dealing with. So give that voice a little bit of power if you're finding that people aren't showing you the respect that you need. It doesn't mean you have to be unkind. Just give it a little more strength and depth. Now, if people find that you're too strong, they're going to run away from you too. So high volume, short syllables, all talk about anger or frustration. And if I had a boss who talked to me like that all the time, I would be very upset. If my colleagues talked to me like that, I would be upset. If my clients talked to me, I would think definitely there was something wrong. So you have to find that kind of powerful middle ground, but not too strong, not too soft. Another piece of advice that I'd like to give you is vary your intonation. What I mean by that is we've talked about regular intonation patterns where in statements the intonation drops down. And then we've talked about conversational tone where the intonation goes up. If your intonation goes up all the time, that could sometimes show that you're really involved in the conversation. But often, if you do it all of the time, it shows doubt. So if you pay attention to your intonation, and this is especially true for some language groups, Indian languages come to mind. A lot of those languages end with an up sound. Now that's fine, that's conversational tone in many cases, but if you're doing it all of the time, it shows doubt. Are you really sure you know what you're talking about? Because remember, going up also means asking a question. So I wouldn't have a rising conversation all the time, just sometimes. But on the other hand, if you're using a regular intonation pattern where your statements drop down, and they always drop down, and they always drop down, and you don't vary it, sometimes you can sound a little overbearing, or maybe even conceited. So if I introduced myself and I said, "My name is Sherry. I come from California. I teach accent." Doesn't that sound a little either conceited, proud, or, you know, just plain arrogant? Maybe angry and mean. If I go up, I'm doing the opposite. My name is Sherry. I come from California. I'm an accent trainer. Wow. It could be conversational in some cases, but if I do it all the time, people are going to say, are you sure you know who you are? So if I were you, I would vary it. Have some rises, some conversational tone rises, and also drop your tone sometimes, because this is what the native speakers do. I would like for you to, again, tune in to the native speaker, see if you can hear those kinds of patterns. Sometimes they're going up, sometimes they're going down. Notice how often they do it. Notice when they do it. Why are they doing that? Why are they sometimes going up? Why are they sometimes going down? Obviously, if it's a yes-no question, you'll hear a rise in intonation. But there's all kinds of variation going on. It makes for a very interesting person. So ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to come across as being an intelligent but kind person, first of all, put a little power behind your voice. And second of all, vary your intonation, because it'll make a difference in how people perceive you. And that's something that's really interesting. Sometimes people think something that's not true. Let me give you one more example. One time I went into a store, and a man who was not from the United States, who speaks English as a second language, looked at me and said to me, "Hi, how can I help you?" Now, knowing that in certain languages, things can be spoken rather quickly like that, it wasn't a problem. But for some native English-speaking people, that sounds a little bit angry or upset. "Hi, how can I help you?" It's too fast. If you want to put a little kindness in your voice, slow it down a bit. Make sure that you're getting your intonation where you want it. "Hi, how can I help you?" That is a very typical, kind North American salesperson. And the typical North American would respond very happily to that kind of voice. So even though when the person greeted me, he was very kind, some people may misinterpret that. You've got to tune in. You've got to be aware. Make sure that you're not giving an impression that you don't want to give. So that's my little bit of advice, and I'll turn you back over to Mark. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sherry. Well, that does it for our lesson, lesson 28, emotion or showing emotion with tone. We look forward to hearing from you. Please send in those assignments and have fun working with it. Remember, emotion does take some practice, does take a little time. So once again, good luck with that, and we'll see you in the next lesson.